Thank you for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Tonight we're going to be studying together, do a little bit of review, but we'll study together the last major way out of the four we have identified of knowing God more. We have learned quite a number of things, and I'm just going to revise a little bit from the third major way, which we studied the last 2 weeks. We don't have too much time, so I can't go all the way back, but I'm trusting God that next week, before we close this particular set of studies and lessons out, that we can actually just do a mini review from the beginning. Some of the things we'll learn, just kind of help us stir up our memory, remembrance, knowing God more, understanding God more has a lot to do with our memory, has a lot to do with what we remember and what we keep in our hearts, keep in our minds. And so we're going to do a little, I'm trusting God we can do that next week, just review the whole thing, the preambles, and then the four major ways of knowing God more, and then close out. So it'll probably be maybe a fairly shorter service, I think. We'll see. but praise God, tonight we are here in the right place at the right time, and we're going to share a word of prayer and dive right into the Word of God, and do a very little revision, and then learn tonight the fourth major way in which we get to know God more. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let's share a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for another opportunity that you've given to us, to all of us, to be able to come together like this in this place. Our brothers and sisters that are in their different places in different parts of this country and around the world. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity, the privilege to be able to be channels, vessels, conduits through which you can channel your revelation, your understanding, your knowledge, the explanation of your word to your people. Father, we yield to you tonight, precious Holy Spirit. We welcome you. I ask that you will take your place as our great teacher. And I ask that you speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind and grant us all understanding and help us to grow in our knowledge of you again tonight. I thank you, God. I give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much again for joining us. I'm going to ask you to please get your Bibles, notebooks, pens, devices, whatever you use. But let's dive into the Word of God together. Let's have a real Bible study tonight if we can. That's what we've been doing the last several weeks. But as we begin to wrap this part of our studies up, let's really, let's get all the meat that the Lord has for us. Okay, let's read Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. I know that has been a main scripture in all of these several studies that we have had together. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 in the Amplified Version says, "Yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn, and he will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth." The Bible says we should follow on, commit to knowing the Lord more, to understanding him, to be zealous, to be acquainted with him. And that's what we've been doing. The last few weeks, we have been studying the theme, knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. Knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. And we have identified, let's start from where we stopped last week, but we have identified four major ways in which we can know the Lord more. The first one is through habitual fellowship, through ministering to the Lord. The second one is through zeal and desire. The third one, which we studied the last 2 weeks, is knowing God more through revelation and experience. And the last one, which we're going to be studying tonight, is knowing God more through sharing His nature and purpose. Amen. Well, the last 2 weeks, some of the things we learned talked a lot about reading in Oral Roberts' book, something profound, very simple but very profound, which for a long time, for many years, really didn't stand out to me until recently. And it's something he picked out of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, in the Amplified Version, which says, we understand God more through word, through the word and experience. We do understand God more through the word and the experience. Of course, we saw the story where the Lord Jesus Christ chastised the disciples and asked them why it was so difficult for them to grow in understanding, because they had eyes, but they were not seeing. They had ears, they were not hearing. Their hearts seemed hardened. They didn't seem to be paying attention and keeping in their hearts. That's why I said to you earlier on in this service, part of knowing God more requires that we remember, that we remind ourselves again and again of some of the things we've learned about God and some of the experiences that we have had with the Lord. And those disciples didn't do that. They had seen the Lord multiply bread, 5 loaves, 2 fish, fed 5,000, maybe 10,000, maybe 15,000 in that one sitting, because we're only told of the number of the women. And when that was all done, how many baskets did they have left that were just remnants? 12 baskets. And then there was another time when he fed another 4,000 people with 7 loaves. How many baskets did they have remaining? 7 baskets. And so when he was ministering to them and he said something about bread, instead of understanding based on prior experience that the Lord could not be focusing on a shortage of bread, in their minds, because they lacked understanding, they concluded he was talking to them about bread because they forgot the loaf of bread they had in the hotel. that's my own translation right there, my own commentary. That's it, yeah, commentary. But they ought to have learned by now he's El Shaddai, and he just never comes up short. So we learn, we know God more through revelation and experience, through paying attention. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals the Father to us through the Holy Spirit. We saw that in different scriptures. We saw that especially in John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit reveals the Father to us, but we have to pay attention. And we have to make decisions sometimes to turn aside and actually observe the things that we see, like Moses did when he saw the burning bush. We talked about the prayer, Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, where he prayed that God will open, he will grant the Ephesian church the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of their understanding will become enlightened so that they could know the things that God wanted them to know. And we said that's a prayer we should pray for ourselves. Yes, he was praying that for the church. He was ministering to the whole corporate body. But that's a prayer we should pray for ourselves individually, regularly. And pray that prayer that the psalmist prayed. Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things from your word. Every time we go into the word of God, because the knowledge of God comes through revelation, and revelation comes through the word of God. Amen. And then when the Holy Spirit uses the revelation of God in his word and life, our life's experiences, and connects all the dots, suddenly we find ourselves drawing closer to God. Suddenly we find ourselves gaining more understanding of the Lord. We saw the churches the revelation churches that the Holy Spirit sent messages to. And you know, each of those churches, he will say to them, towards the end of the messages he sent to them, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Well, all those believers, all those people had ears. They had natural ears. But obviously, that's not what the Lord was talking about, because we can have natural ears, but not be hearing the things that God is saying to us. And so it becomes important that we are focused, that we are paying attention to the things that the Lord is showing us, the things that the Lord is revealing to us, and then acting on it. We learned, we saw the example of Paul when he came to the Lord. First, he had that Damascus experience where he actually had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord arrested him on the way to Damascus. But his knowledge and his growth and his intimacy with God did not stop there. He kept on growing in knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And we saw in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where he says, my determined purpose, that is, I'm committed to this. My determined purpose is to know God more intimately, to become more acquainted with him. And he identified three ways in which he wanted to do that: perceiving him, recognizing him, and understanding him more strongly and more clearly, he said. And we explained what perceiving, recognizing, and understanding really mean. When we perceive God, it means we are prone and we are learning and growing in our ability to see what God is doing inside of our hearts, to appreciate what the Lord is doing inside of our lives, even though there is no physical outward evidence. And that recognition, to grow in recognizing God and recognizing what he's doing, is to be able to, from the things we see going on around us, God's walking around us, to be able to identify and to be able to relate with and to be able to find our place and see what God is doing through those things that are going on around us, growing in recognition of God, the things that the Lord is doing on the outside. And then we talked about growing in understanding, which is both of those previous things: perceiving, recognizing, being able to explain, preempt, being able to act on the things that we learn, the things that we see of God. All of these things draw us closer to the Lord. The more we grow in those graces, the closer we get to the Lord. But remember, all of that requires that we pay attention, that we are focused, and that we are yielded, and we are prioritizing the things that the Holy Spirit is doing, not just in one season of our lives, but that on and on, we are actually growing in this knowledge. And of course, I believe we closed out last week with the story of Jacob when he had a revelation of God in Bethel. This was a young man who all he had was, up until this experience, was a secondhand knowledge of God, just what his father had told him, what his mother had told him, and the principles they had taught him. He used that, but only to try to get an advantage over his brother, stole his birthright and ran away from home and all of that. But suddenly he had an encounter where, just like Paul in Acts of the Apostles, Jacob had an encounter with God, and the Lord started to reveal himself to him. And when he got up from that encounter, he said, wow, God is in this place and I didn't even know it. But right there and then, he committed to doing certain things. He said, the Lord is with me, and if he takes me to wherever he takes me and he brings me back here and all of that, I commit that I will serve him. I will share my goods with him. Everything he gives to me, I will give him a tithe of all, and on like that. That revelation that he had and that experience drew him closer to God. So his relationship with God went from being a second-hand relationship to an intimate personal relationship with the Almighty God, based on that revelation and experience that Jacob had. And we don't create revelation. We don't create experience. But when they are created, we respond to them. We are quick to see them, to feel them, to sense them. And we respond to them like Jacob. Jacob didn't create the experience. He didn't create the revelation. He just went to sleep in the wilderness. He just got pillows and he was running. He was tired at the end of his, at the end of that evening, his time on the road, on his trip. He was tired. He thought, I'm going to sleep. He got two pillows and all stones that he saw around, used those for pillows, put his head there and went off to sleep. He thought he was about to sleep. But when he went off to sleep, the Lord came. So the Lord created the experience. He created the revelation. But the one thing that Jacob did when he got up, he said, wow, God was in this place and I did not even. So he paid attention to it and immediately set up an altar. And immediately he vowed. He vowed, he made a pledge. So he did something remarkable with it. And we already learned revelation is progressive. Revelation is progressive. And unfortunately for us, many times we miss out because we pass on the revelations that God brings into our lives. And because revelation is progressive, where we miss one and we miss another and we miss another, we actually, what we are doing is falling short of the opportunities that God gives us to be able to know him more, to be able to draw closer to him. Amen. But I know that through this studies and through all of these different experiences and revelations that God has given to us, our lives will never be the same again. We're going to pay attention. We're going to grow. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. And through that revelation and experience will be connected through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we keep on moving, we'll keep on knowing God more and more and more, like Paul said, and we'll know him more. And the more we know him, the more the power of his resurrection will become manifest in our lives and in our experience. And we're not seeking to know him just because we want the power of his resurrection. No, that's the power of his resurrection is a secondary benefit. But primarily, we get close to him. Primarily, we know him more. We understand him more. And tonight, I believe as we go into this last particular way, as we study this a bit more, we might actually come into a greater level of understanding, what I called last week, comprehending. And we'll see some of that as we go on tonight. Now, tonight we are learning, or we are studying together, knowing God more through sharing his nature and his purpose. Let's go read about David. I'm going to move on this very fast, and we might close early. We'll see. Let's see how the Lord leads us here. Acts chapter 13, verse 21. Acts chapter 13 and verse 21. It says right here, let's read this from the King James first, and then I'm going to read one verse from the Amplified. It says, and afterward they desired a king, talking about the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Now, the children of Israel were looking for a king. And this man, who the Bible describes as very tall and humble and everything, the Lord picked him to be the king over his people. The one thing he didn't have, though, was a yearning to know God more. He had great physical, external characteristics. At the beginning, he had a good heart, and he was humble, but he didn't really have a passionate desire, zeal for God, habitual faith. He didn't know God, no revelation. There's no psalm written by Saul anywhere. No psalm, no scripture by Saul. The only things you are going to see Saul talked about or that are credited to him are not even worthy many times. A lot of the things he did are not even worthy of rejoicing over. He didn't have a personal revelation of God. He didn't know God, right? So ultimately, he couldn't really stay in that position. And I think that's really important to keep in mind there, that, by virtue of a few benefits or a few advantages we have, we can actually rise up to certain places in life. But without a passionate desire to know God and without a commitment to drawing close to him, we really can't stay there. No matter the promotion, no matter the blessing, we can't really keep them. Amen. And that's one of the major differences between Saul and David. Let's keep on reading here. It says in verse 22, "And when God had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will fulfill all my will." Listen to that from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Verse 22, it says, "And when he had deposed him, Saul, he raised up David to be their king. Of him God bore witness and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will and carry out my program fully." A man who will do all, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will and carry out my program fully. Oh, I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, if you were with us when we studied the third major way of knowing God more, which we called knowing God more through revelation and experience, earlier on in that study, one of the things I said was that particular way was one of the most significant, one of the deeper ways, one of the more significant ways in which we can actually know God more. And that's true. It's so much deeper than what's going on at the peripheral, cerebral level. It's not all about our mental abilities or things we do in our own physical. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit. It's through revelation, as we draw close to him through revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. That's awesome, and that's glorious, and that has its many benefits and advantages. This particular one we're studying tonight, knowing God more through sharing his nature and his purpose. I'm going to say this about that. This is one of the simplest. This is one of the simplest ways to know God more. You are going to see that as we go along. This is one of the simplest, one of the easiest, and one of the most available ways to every believer. Yeah, maybe some people just have a hard time getting the revelation of God, growing that area on understanding, and maybe sometimes some of the spiritual depth is a bit too much for them to handle or for them to even be willing to avail themselves of, and on like that. This way of knowing God is the simplest way, is the easiest way, and is the most available and most accessible way of knowing God more. Every believer can know God more through this particular way. Every believer. You're going to see that as we go along. Look at some of the things the Lord said about David. He said, "I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Notice, his natural qualification was not what drew him closer to God. He didn't say, "A man of Jesse, therefore, he will do all my, he will fulfill all my will. Therefore, he will be close to me because he came from the lineage of Jesse." No. He's the son of Jesse. That's his natural, whatever. That helps us know his roots. But that had nothing to do outside of what he may have gotten from his father's house, spiritual knowledge, depth, and understanding and information and knowledge, but certainly not from just because he was born in the household of Jesse. But look at what the Lord said about him. He said, "He's a man after my own heart." So one of the things we see right there is it is possible to be a man after God's heart. It is possible to share the heart of God. Oh, I love that very much. It is possible to share God's nature. It is possible to share God's purpose. It is possible to be moved by what moves God. It is possible to be to be stirred by what stirs God. It is possible to have God's heart in such a way that we are connected at that level. When we have God's heart, we are close to Him. We are intimate with Him. When we are passionate about the things God is passionate about, that's one way in which we get close together. He said, I found David, a man after my own heart. Then he said, who will do all my will? Who will do all my will? So there's something about David that God saw that made God conclude, David will do all my will. David will do. So that means David will share in the purposes of God. He didn't just even say, do all my will. He says, he will do all my will and carry out my program fully. He will do all my will and carry out my program. So that means he will share in the purpose of God. But look at the first one. He's a man after my own heart. That means he will share in the nature of God. So we can know God more through sharing in his nature and sharing in his purposes. Sharing in his nature and sharing in his purpose. You say, how does that happen? It's a very simple. It's the simplest way to know God more. It's the simplest way to draw closer to the Lord. And you see that with David. What was it? Just a desire to be like God. A desire to be like God. To act like God, to talk like God, to imitate God. That's why I say it's the simplest way to draw closer to God. Because all it takes is seeing who God is and how God is and deciding, I'm going to be like that. And every one of us can be that. You can say, oh, God is holy. I'm going to be holy. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult and challenging it is, I'm going to be holy. You can say, oh, God is a loving God. Oh, I'm going to be a loving person. No matter how hard, no matter how challenging it is, I'm going to be a loving person. You can say, oh, God is patient and kind. Oh, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. Now, obviously, none of us in our own strength and abilities can be any of this. But we can make the decision. And once we make the decision, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us to actually make it happen. Amen. He makes grace available. Grace is what enables us to be like God and to do the will of God and to be how God wants us to be. It's grace. And all God is looking for. Let's go read that in James chapter 4 from verse 6. We read this scripture before, and I did promise you a few weeks ago when we read it that we were going to come back there. But this is the easiest, the simplest way to know God more. To say, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to imitate God. I'm going to copy God's example. No matter what it takes, no matter how, I'm going to commit myself to following God's example, to being like God, to walking in God's footsteps. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's read it. James chapter 4 from verse 6. He says, but he gives more grace. Yeah, God gives grace. Wherefore he said, God resisted the proud and gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Then look at what he says. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep if you need to be that way. If you need to be repentant, you need to be remorseful. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Don't be laughing when you should be crying. Amen. and your joy to heaviness. Don't be taking light of the issues of your life that God considers serious. Amen. So essentially what he's saying here is take the steps, make the decision, take the steps to draw close to God. How do I do that? By being more like God. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted. I'm going to be more like God. And then he goes on in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Then look at verse 11, and I'm going to have us read verse 11 and 12, but I'm actually going to do a slightly bit more elaborate discourse on that in the next few minutes here. I'm just going to read it here. I'm going to kind of digress a little bit and have us go read a few scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5. But then I want us to come back here. I want us to actually come back here and delve a little bit strongly. Actually, this here and a few other related scriptures, I just want us to see and get an understanding of how this works. How can we know God more by sharing in his nature and in his purpose? How can we know God more by just making the decision we want to be like him? We want to follow his example. And you are going to see that as we go along here. Now, let's read verses 11 and 12. It says, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And then he says in verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that you should judge another? This is so, so powerful and so important. And we're going to, again, like I said earlier, we're going to come back here in just a few minutes and then look at a few related scriptures, some from the Old Testament. And what we want to see here, I want you to see how just deciding to copy God's example and to imitate God and to be like God draws us closer to him. He says, don't judge, don't speak evil of your brother or your sister. Don't judge. Amen. And you see some of the other things he talks about, Old Testament and New Testament. Essentially saying, this is how to be pleasing to me. This is what I require of you. Well, in being that, in obeying that, in following that example, the Lord draws us closer to him. We actually know him more. He becomes more available to us. He becomes more accessible to us because we want to follow his example. We want to copy his example. We want to be like him. We want to be pleasing unto him. The Bible says two can't work together unless they are agreed. That's in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. So we can't walk closely with God unless we agree with God. I'm actually go read the scripture there in 2 Corinthians as well. Very popular scripture in the Amplified. We can't walk with God unless we're in agreement with God. Well, how do we come into agreement with God? By being like God, by following his example, by sharing his heart and sharing his purpose. And when we do that, intimacy grows. Intimacy with God grows. I said I wanted to take you to a scripture in Ephesians. Go with me here to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go read Ephesians chapter 5 and from verse 1. I'm going to read the whole thing in the King James. I'm going to read a few of those verses, or 8 verses there. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 8. Let's read that first in the King James. And then let's read a couple of the verses from the Amplified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, be you therefore followers of God as their children. Be followers of God as their children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You see, he's giving us, he's telling us how to live, what to be, how to aspire to be like God, to follow and to copy his example. Notice, a walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So, seek to be like God. Seek to copy God's example. Seek to follow God's example. He reads, he goes on, he says, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints. So that is, have zero tolerance for uncleanness. Have zero tolerance for immorality. Let it not even be named amongst you once. Don't even want to practice it. Don't even want to be introduced to it. What is that again? Is being like God. Doing everything you can to copy God's example and to be like him. Remember in the scripture in 1 Peter somewhere, it says, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Right? He goes on here and he says, verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So, we're not going to foolish talk. We're not going to open our mouth and talk rubbish, which we know our Heavenly Father will not do. Right? We're not going to let idle words proceed out of our mouth. Why? Because we want to copy his example, and we know he doesn't do idle words. Amen. We know the Bible says in James, out of the same mouth can come blessing and cursing. So we can't practice speaking junk and expect to get close to the Lord. No, we want to be like him. He goes on further. He says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Right. So, don't be a partaker of evil. Be a partaker of godliness. This is one of the easiest ways to get close to God. You don't need to see an angel in the sky. Nobody needs to see anything. We don't have to see clouds. We don't need a revelation in the night, trance, hear a voice, see a burning bush. No, we don't need to see. For this, to get close to God through this way, all we need is to decide, I'm going to follow God's example. I'm going to be like God. We share his nature. We share his purpose. And when we do that, we just find we are drawing near to him, like James said. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So when we do that, when we become imitators of God as our Heavenly Father, what we are doing is we are drawing near to him. And the Bible says supernaturally, when we draw near to him, he also will draw near to us. He says, don't be partakers with them. Verse 7, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now I want you to read with me in the Amplified, Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1, because I really like this here. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. Oh, I like that very much. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. And you can read on and on from there. copy him and follow his example. Be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. I want you to listen to this note, to these lines from my notes. Doing everything you can in your own little and in your own big ways to imitate God and be more like him will make more of his grace available to you and draw you closer to him. Listen to that again. Doing everything you can in your own little and in your own big ways to imitate God and be more like him will make more of his grace available to you and draw you closer to him. So, in your own little ways, I'm going to be closer to God. I'm going to copy God's example. If I read in his word, God is loving, he's kind, then I'm going to be loving and I'm going to be kind. If I read in his word, God is holy, then I'm going to be holy. If I read in his word, God is patient, then I'm going to be patient. If I read in his word, no idle word proceeds from his mouth, then I will no longer utter idle words. I'm going to follow his example. Now, understand that this is not legalism. This is not trying to be religious, trying to observe a set of rules. No. Notice what he said. When you do everything in your own little way to imitate God and be more like him, more of his grace will be made available to you. So it is not this legalistic thing of determining our lifestyle based on certain rules and regulations. That's not what this is. But this is a heart desire to be like the Father. And in spite of our human limitations, in spite of our failings, when we really seek in our heart to be like him, and then we do everything in our own little way, everything possible in our own little way, and everything possible in our own big ways. There are sometimes we need to take little steps. There are sometimes we need to take big steps in order to copy God's example. But when we make those decisions, then God makes grace available to us. And that grace is what draws us closer to him and draws him closer to us. If you look in the word, as you go, you study habitual fellowship and all the, you listen to God's word, ministers and blah, you find that God is a forgiving God. Well, I want to copy his example. I'm going to be a forgiving God. I'm not going to hold things in my mind against people. If you study in his word, and if God does not prematurely judge people. God doesn't condemn people. He gives them grace. He gives them opportunity after opportunity. Then, what do you do? Oh, I'm not going to be judgmental of people. I'm going to be gracious towards people. If you find out God does not maltreat people, he's kind. Well, I'm going to copy his example. God is not mean. I will not be mean. Grace will be made available to you. This is not legalistic. Oh, I choose not to be mean. I choose not to be unkind. I choose not to be evil. I choose not to be impatient. Oh, Holy Spirit will hear that and he will make grace available to you. And you will become more and more like God. And you will know him more. Hallelujah. This is so powerful. Becoming imitators of God. Becoming imitators of God. When we do that, we share fellowship with him. Because it's we become fellows in the same ship. We have commonalities. We have communion. Oh, I love that. We have communion. And you know what we always call the grace when we share the grace? Communion. When we share, let's share the grace together in fellowship. Let's look at it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And I'm going to read this to you actually. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 14. You know what? Let's just read verse 14 from the King James, because I think that's probably going to take a little bit more time. But let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14 from the King James. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Look at that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Right? It says there in the Amplified, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. So there is a commonality that we share with our God that causes grace to be released into our lives. Causes the communion and the presence of the Holy Spirit to increase around us. There's a commonality. When we are agreeable, in that same scripture, in that same 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, in the Amplified it says, finally, brethren, farewell, rejoice, be strengthened, perfected, completed, made what you ought to be. That's like God. Be encouraged and consoled and comforted. Be of the same agreeable mind. Be of the same agreeable mind, one with another. Live in peace, and then the God of love, who is the source of all affection, goodwill, love, benevolence toward men, and the author and promoter of peace, will be with you. So when you take steps to be in peace, the God of peace will be with you. When you take steps to be agreeable, the God of communion, the communion of the Holy Spirit, will be with you. Hallelujah. Now, notice, I want us to notice here, remember where we started from in James chapter 4, and we were reading verse 11, where are we at here? I'm almost like maybe I'm just about 8 to 10 minutes away from when we need to stop here. So let's try to, let's look at James 4:11 again. After it talks about drawing near to God, then it talks about, it says there, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother judges his brother and speaks evil of the law. So, Lord, I want to be a partaker of your nature. I want to be a sharer of your nature means I don't want to do those things that aggravate you, that repel your presence. I want to be close to you. Well, here it is, then it says, copy my example. Don't speak evil of your brother or your sister. Don't judge. Don't destroy. Don't curse. Don't hurt. Be good, be kind. Now, of course, you know, this is repeated. Let's go to the Old Testament if you can get there quick enough. If you can, just listen to me read it. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8 and 10. This is repeated twice, actually. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. It's exactly what we were told in James 4. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. That's who I want you to be. That's how you are like me. He didn't stop there. He didn't stop there in Zechariah 8:15. Let's look at Zechariah 8:15. He repeats almost the same thing. So again, he says, I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things you shall do. These are the things I want you to do. Do these things. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your heart against your neighbor, your brother. Love no false oath. For all these things I hate, saith the Lord. For all these things I hate, saith the Lord. Well, we want to be close to him. We want to know him more. Therefore, we want to be imitators of God. Therefore, we want to stay away from the things he says he hates, and we want to stay close to the things he says he loves. So this is how I want you to be. In fact, you remember in the book of Micah, you know, in Micah where he was saying, let's go read Micah. See if I can find that. Micah chapter 6. Let's read that. Micah chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Micah chapter 6. And let's read that from verse 6 to 8. So probably just, oh man, I can't go through all those. Well, let's just read. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Can't read all those versions. I'm running out of time here. He says, Micah chapter 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with ten thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Oh no. He said, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. In the Amplified, he says, to do justly, to love kindness and mercy, to humble yourself and to walk humbly with your God. I can't read them. The Message. I can't read that Message translation because I'm running out of time. But what we're saying here is, in order to be in a position where the Lord can draw us closer to himself, what do we have to do? We have to copy his example. We have to seek to share his heart. We have to seek to share his purpose. We have to seek to be more like him. Every one of us can do that in our own little ways. And we can inch forward in the steps that we've already taken. Yes, I am patient, but I can become more patient. I can become more patient. Yes, I'm kind. I can become more kind. I don't speak evil of my neighbor. I can do better than that. I can actually speak blessing regarding my neighbor. Amen and amen. We can go on and on, because every step we take to be more like God is a step we take to be closer to his heart. To say, Lord, help me understand and help me partake of your heart. Help me have more of your love, more of your mercy, more of your holiness. Help me partake of the nature of God. Amen. Let's close out here in the Psalms, Psalm 91. As a popular psalm, one of the psalms where the Lord visited us earlier on this year. Psalm 91, let's go read that place, verse 14. Something there that is really powerful. I want us to close out there. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He has known my name. The Amplified says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, my kindness. He trusts and he relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. So, knowing God, the Hebrew word we have learned, that word know is yada. To have a knowledge, intimate relationship with somebody. And the Lord said, he knows my mercy. He knows my kindness. He knows my love. He knows me. He knows my name. And how do we know his name? How do we know all of those parts of his nature, his character? It's to be like him. It's to seek to be like him. And the more we do that, the closer we get to him, the more he draws us closer to himself. We come into a place of greater understanding and comprehension. We begin to comprehend more and more of God. Take the aspect of his love. I keep saying I'm going to close, but I think I have a minute here. Take that aspect of his love. Read this with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's close out in Ephesians. All right, that's our final close here. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read this out. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven is and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may become filled with all the fullness of God. Look at that. You comprehend with all the saints the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of his love. And then you will know the love of Christ that passes knowledge and become filled with the fullness of God. Talk about being close to God. Talk about knowing God more. It says you will know God even in ways beyond which knowledge is available to the average person. Why? Because you comprehend. You comprehend that part of his nature. As this is a very interesting Greek word, katalambano. You probably wouldn't remember that. Nobody will. Katalambano is to take hold of, to comprehend, to take hold of, to take hold of something of God and make it yours, to possess it. It's God's nature, but it becomes your nature because you take hold of it, katalambano. You possess it. It becomes yours. God is the one who is the God of love, but suddenly you become the one who possesses love or any of his other nature. He's the God of holiness, but suddenly you possess that holiness. It becomes a part of your personal characteristic and nature. You become a sharer of God's nature and God's purpose. And because you do, you become filled with the fullness of God. You know him more. You know him more. Grace is made available to you. And supernaturally, God will be drawing you to himself. Father, we thank you. Come on, let's close. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name for helping us know you more, your nature, your purpose, your heart. We give you praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. We're out of time. Thank you for being with us tonight. Look forward to seeing you next week. Let's have some time and just do a little bit of a revision. Thank you. God bless you. And good night.